Welcome back to Sports Out the Wazoo, sponsored by Capone's, located across from the Church and Center. 265-1886 is the number for Capone's. We're back talking a little Major League Baseball, and you know, Chris, as you mentioned going into break, we didn't really have as good of an opportunity to talk about the opening week of baseball. Obviously, a big kickoff. A lot of things going on now, though. Today, for instance, right now we're looking at the Houston Astros game. They're about to drop to
0-7. Head off to a strong 0-7 start for the Astros.
They're always a second half team, anyways.
Minnesota got underway today. Their new Target Field,
home opener. They're up 4-1 on the Red Sox,
and a lot of teams really opening up home play. Their home openers today and tomorrow. Yep. A lot of teams kind of started out on the road. Obviously, it's kind of the way that MLB schedule is. I've never really understood it, why some teams have to go out on a 6-8-9 game road trip to start out the season. You don't see that really in any other sport.
Blue Jays, we were just talking about, haven't played at home yet. They're 5-1. They play their first home game tonight.
Yeah. Well, it's also kind of weird, I guess, too, if you were going to give a home and home series to every team. So you start out, okay, these 16 teams or whatever, 15 teams start out on the road for this series, and then the next 15 teams will swap. They'll be at home. Yeah. But the problem is with that, in baseball, you know, normal a three-game homestand, it's short-lived. And so I guess you want to maybe get some rhythm going, and you give maybe a six-game,
seven-game
home. I mean,
the whole baseball schedule is weird.
No, it is.
Yeah, with all these
off-days. That's the only explanation.
Especially this year.
That's the only explanation I could possibly
hear. Now you're playing people that are in your league. If they're not in your division, then you play them twice throughout 162-game season. It's crazy.
I mean, it's a very small margin. The interesting thing is,
nonetheless, I mean, a lot of surprises going on so far.
At the top of every division, there's one team that has gotten off to a stellar start.
Yeah, and you look at Toronto and the AL East at 5-1. I mean, obviously, small sample sizes apply here. Come June, anything can happen.
They should be a solid club all year. I'd be surprised if they're not.
We'll see what their rotation holds. I mean, their offense is solid. I won't say anything spectacular, especially judging by the AL East.
Fewest runs allowed in baseball through the first week of games. But I don't think with that, though, once again, it's a small sample size, but I don't think you can expect the opposite. I don't think that their rotation of their bullpen is going to be that bad. If it's the best through six games, I think the law of averages, it's probably going to be okay. It's probably going to be average.
Their rotation is fourth and maybe fifth best, I think, in the AL East alone.
You don't have an anomaly like that if you're that bad, is what I'm saying.
The Orioles had a 4 or 6 game lead on the Yankees and Red Sox a couple years back at the start of June. It all evens itself
out. I'm talking about just pitching here. I'm not talking about team, because as a team, they're not going to be there at the end of the year. But their pitching staff, you can't say they're going to be that bad if they've gotten off to that good of a start.
Sean Markham, Ricky Romero, Brandon Morrow, Brian Talbot, Dana Evelyn.
Nobody knew who Roy Halladay was before Roy Halladay became Roy Halladay. It's not about names. There's no Roy Halladay on that team. But they're not going to be as. My point is, they're not going to be as bad as you're painting them out to be if they've gotten off to this good.
They're
going to
be. I still think that they have a chance, if not being the worst rotation in all of the AL East, then second worst with the Orioles, who I think a lot of people are counting out early as well. They've got a solid rotation.
I agree in the AL East. I'm talking about in all of the AL. They're not as bad as people are painting them out to be by far. It's not going to be that way. They're just in the wrong division to try to compete.
I think eventually that'll iron itself out. But I mean, you go around, you look at some of these other teams, Seattle and Los Angeles of Anaheim of California, the Angels.
The Angels.
Both those teams are 2-4.
I don't think the Angels are going to get it done this year. I really don't.
I said it this year. I think this is where their run looks at, their run kind of ends here, because their luck runs out, I guess, at the end of the season. Because honestly, Seattle looks strong. Texas made a run last year. They don't have the rotation, so that's the thing that worries me. But Texas has the offense to just kind of keep them in it and keep them above 500, keep their heads above water. The Angels do not have a rotation, and their offense is solid. But, I think it's aging at a lot of areas as well. Their defense isn't quite as spectacular as it used to be. And I don't know.
Their
run may end.
They're going to have to – and this is what they do. They're going to have to lean very heavily on manufacturing runs through –
They lost a lot of the players that helped.
Sean Figgins is one of those guys.
Sean Figgins, Vladimir Guerrero, John Lackey. I mean, they lost three of their centerpieces of their team. That's a lot to lose, and that's another big reason why I said, okay, I don't know about this team. Irvin Santana, you never know if he's going to be healthy or not. You look at Kelvin Escobar, he may or may not retire. And you kind of go down the line, they don't really have a lot of proven starters. Jared Weaver, I mean, he's dominant when he's on, and when he's not, it's bad. Scott Kazmir can be dominant, but he also has an injury record or injury past. And on top of that, when you look at Kaz, too, I mean, he struggles mentally with the game of baseball. Yeah. And that's one of the toughest things for pitchers to really reel in.
If the Angels make the playoffs at all, I'm talking about wild card even.
Very surprised.
Socha deserves manager of the year. I'm not even kidding. I mean, the guy just handed him the trophy because I don't think this squad's good enough to cut it with – I mean, and – once again, I mean, the rest of the division.
The division's not strong. I mean, the A's are off to the best start in the division. Yeah. They've got a stout pitching staff this year, which they normally do.
I think the A's will eventually kind of drop off a little bit. They don't have the offense, and eventually that pitching kind of dies out because they rely on so many young arms.
Exactly.
And then they're trading everybody away by the deadline.
Yeah.
And like I said, it'll kind of even it out. I think L.A. will be in the mix, but ultimately I see Seattle still. I know that's the popular pick, too, but unfortunately I see Seattle winning it and
I'm going to take Texas, honestly. I mean, we were kind of joking around last week about who we thought was going to do well. I mean, Seattle, we are very high on Seattle. Blake and I both. Yeah. But
they just have no offense.
Yeah. I think Texas, this could be the year where they finally break out of the slump.
Everybody else is bad enough for Texas to finally.
The only thing is you need good pitching, especially to get you down the stretch during the heart of the month. You can't outscore everybody.
I mean, I don't think they're
going to
win a playoff series.
Who do they have? Do they even have Kevin Millwood still? I mean, they have Kevin Millwood, and what's the rest of their rotation? Nobody really knows. Scott Feldman
led off the year.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, Scott Feldman, and then it's a big drop off.
Rich Harden, they've moved C.J. Wilson from a setup man to starter, so that's going to be an interesting little switch. Colby Lewis, their fourth starter right now, and then Matt Harrison, a young left-handed prospect who's got really good control, but not really much of an arm.
That's what I'm saying. Too many unprovens. They don't have a top of the rotation guy.
Right.
And when you have to go up against Seattle, 18 times in the year, when you've got King Felix and Cliff Lee, I would say arguably the best tandem in all of baseball for pitching wise, 1-2 punch. I mean, that's going to be tough to compete against. I think I see Seattle winning that one, but Texas, I think, will
be a definite contrast. This is the one division.
Amazing
pitching, defense, and amazing.
I think this is the one division, maybe in all of baseball, where we really don't know. I mean, it could go any one of these four teams could come out on top. I don't think the Angels are going to do it, but it wouldn't surprise me. Mike Socha is that good as a manager. He never gets any of the credit for it, but he's a top three manager in baseball. Yeah. I mean, bar none. And it'll be interesting to watch. The Central is the division I've been keeping a close eye on. The White Sox, not gotten off to the start that they want, but Detroit and Minnesota have both gotten off to great starts.
They're playing each other right now.
Yeah, and they are.
No, they're not. So
Minnesota's playing the Red Sox.
Right.
I'm really high on Minnesota. I really, really am high on Minnesota. Their offense is there. This is a team that can score runs with any team in all of baseball, and I think that their bullpen and their rotation is going to be enough to get by division.
You lose Nathan. That's
I mean,
huge,
you don't have to be spectacular in the AL Central to do anything. But yeah. I mean, honestly, I think
it's one of the more underrated divisions in baseball, though.
You win 86, 88
games, White Sox, and you win the division.
Well, no, it's the problem is, I mean, with the
White
the
Sox,
is,
Lance Tigers, and then you got the Royals.
Well, yeah, but the problem is with the AL Central, Indians. We're so used to the AL East, where you have these powerhouse teams, and Yankees, Red Sox, and now the Rays occasionally, depending on what year it is, that the Central, while they don't have an elite-level team, they have three teams who are very good.
I really like the way the Twins are put together.
Yeah, they're three very evenly matched teams, and they're that next level under Yankees and Red Sox so in terms of elite-level teams. So another wide-open division. I like the Twins, though. They've gotten off to a great start.
I just feel like without Joe Nathan, I mean, you can find a closer to fill in, but when you have the best closer in all of baseball and then you have to suddenly find somebody, that's a significant drop-off.
But you know what?
You're talking about five or six games possibly.
The Rays had that problem a couple years ago, and they found a way to get a little bit of a stopgap, and they made it through. So it's not completely out of the question.
Yeah, but when the Rays did it, they didn't even make the playoffs the year that they did. I mean, when Troy Percival was on, when he was their closer, they made the playoffs.
But they didn't have the offense, Brandon. My problem is I do agree with you. I think it's going to cause them fits. It's not the end of the earth, and I think
the Twins are going to compete. Ryan Gardenhire gets the most out of his team.
Honestly, the Twins had had Nathan been healthy, had this whole thing not happened, look, this could have been a situation where they could be competing for a World Series title this year.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, Roush this year, I mean, he's been good. He hasn't messed anything up yet.
They're a playoff level team. They're playoff level talent.
Made four appearances, give up one earned run.
When your starting rotation is centered around Carl Pavano as your ace, things are going to go downhill eventually.
You don't know what you're going to get out of Liriano.
And once again, I think there's a distinct...
You don't know what you're going to get out of Liriano. And name me somebody else on that starting
rotation. Once again, I think there's case in point. I can do it because
you can look at it. I mean, the White Sox, that 1-5, might have the best rotation.
No, I agree. But once again, I think there's... And their strength is definitely pitching, but their offense can't match with what the Twins have. Once again, I think there needs to be a distinguishing factor between elite-level talent and a very good team. This is a playoff talent-level team. I mean, I understand that they're
very good in every area,
yeah.
Not outstanding.
I understand that they don't have an elite-level rotation. I understand that they are now without maybe the best closer in all of baseball. But look, this is still a very talented team, and I'd expect them to make the playoffs, either as a wild card or to win the Central.
The wild card's coming out of the AL East. There's not a doubt in my mind. I mean, when you have two teams that are going to get at least 90 to 95 wins, nobody else is going to compete like that. I mean, not even the AL West when you have the Rangers.
No, but Boston's pitching staff has been very unimpressive for the first week of the season.
But there's a track record with that.
At the same time, their offense has been very unimpressive. They got an issue with Poppy now that they're trying to take care of. I'm not sold on the Red Sox being the dominant elite level team that people thought they were at the beginning. But going into the season. And the same thing with the Rays. The Rays have issues too. The AL East is very good, but it's not as great.
I think once the Red Sox get settled in, I think they're going to be.
I mean, when it's early on, baseball is so much of ebb and flow.
Yeah.
And really, when you first start off, I mean, you can't judge anything. I mean, we can predict and try. That's what we're trying to do for April. Mm-hmm. But I mean, April's a whole nother month. I mean, look at what the Yankees did. They were below 500. CeCe Sabathia looked awful. A.J. Burnett was awful. Yeah, they didn't have A-Rod. They didn't know how he was going to come back.
13 and 15 whenever
How many people were predicting that the Yankees would win the World Series after the end of April? I guarantee they were probably middle of the pack at best.
No, I completely agree.
That's the way baseball shakes out. Eventually, the cream
of the crop rises.
If you have 162 games, it's going to even out.
You find the teams in July that usually are going to win. I mean, the Angels made a run. The Yankees made a run. You started to see the Red Sox start to come along as well. Those are the teams that you eventually start to see it shake out, and you say, okay, here's the dust is settled. You kind of wipe off the bottom tier of the teams out of it.
Everybody's back into the rhythm of playing baseball six days a week.
This year, and we kind of touched on it last week, I think there's only one elite-level team in all of baseball right now. That's the Phillies, and they're playing out of their mind. Can they keep this up for 162 games?
I hope not,
because it'd be scary. Just hand them the trophy now, because it'll be all theirs. But the thing is, I think in all of baseball this year, there are a lot of good teams and a lot of very good teams, but not a lot of elite level teams. And I think we're going to see that this year. There's going to be a lot of parity. I think there's going to be a lot of parity in the playoffs too. It wouldn't surprise me if we have another weird playoff series like we had a couple years ago when the Rockies made it to the World Series.
Mm. Well, you know what? And I'm not completely sold on the Phillies bandwagon just yet. They're doing a great job, but everybody can get off to a hot start. Everybody can finish hot. I mean, you can't sell everything. Cole Hamill still scares me.
They're going to win 2/3 of their games.
If I'm a Phillies fan, Cole Hamill's really scares me. Roy Halladay is obviously going to be an anchor. There's no doubt in anybody's mind. This kid could possibly win 25 games this year with the Phillies offense.
Well, you know what he always had, and this is the thing with Roy Halladay. He gets off to a great start. He starts being dominating. Middle of the summer rolls around.
The Blue Jays are awful, so it doesn't matter.
But the middle of the summer rolls around,
he usually has health concerns. He usually has injury concerns creeping up. Will that happen this year? I don't know. I can't predict what his injuries could happen.
He's been a workforce the last 3 to 5 years. He really hasn't had that many injuries.
But he always has nagging injuries coming up that makes him miss 2 weeks here, a week and a half there. That's something that they can't afford to have. I mean, for a guy, that's why I thought the Cliff Lee trade at surface level, it looked great because you get a Roy Halladay coming in, but it's a marginal improvement because you knew what Cliff Lee was going to give you.
Yeah, he's a horse.
Jimmy Rollins said it best. You know, if you can keep
Cliff
Lee
on the DL right now,
this makes the Phillies, I think, the best team by far in all of baseball, because I think they might right now, considering age and everything, I think they're a notch above the Yankees in offense. Okay. And then if you were to add Cliff Lee to Roy Halladay and possibly Cole Hamels if he can ever turn it around, then that probably is the best trio in all of baseball.
I mean, you really dominate.
The thing that worries me is their bullpen right now. Their bullpen's been shady at best.
Well, they haven't had a need to go to the bullpen yet, so they've been okay.
I mean, that's the thing.
Madsen's the closer at this point.
So it's very shaky, and that can cost you games.
But you know what? The thing about the Phillies is arguably maybe the best offense and best lineup from top to bottom.
They've got two of the best three aspects with lineup and rotation.
Yeah, and then you also have arguably right up there with Albert Pujols, the best slugger in all of baseball. So when you're talking about, and once again, elite level talent, they're in a different category as some of these other teams. So,
but don't count out the Braves just yet either. And I think the Marlins can make some noise. I don't know that they're going to be able to grab the wild card.
The Braves look like a wild card caliber team. I'm not saying that they're a favorite.
If they can put it together.
Yeah, Jason Hayward got up to a great start. First home run.
Got
in
a
his
good
first
rotation.
Swing. First swing of the bat
first
hits a home
swing
run.
Of the bat.
And then he hits another home run the other night.
Every single game I've seen him, I think he's had a hit, and usually it's always been an extra base hit on top of that.
I worry about him, but I think he's going to be all right. You know, you worry about
I think he's going to be okay.
Well, no, but you worry about these young guys who come in and all.
He's got an amazing head.
No,
on
he does. But you know, you think about like hitting a home run on your first swing as a Major League Baseball player. That's almost like a curse because all of a sudden, every time he comes up to bat, hey, head to the fences. You expect a home run.
Well, I mean, right now he's 292 batting average with 3 homers and 8 RBIs.
He's playing great. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to flop, but I'm just saying you wonder what if he can hold up over the long haul.
Yeah, and then I mean, you look at the NL Central with the Cardinals. Albert Pujols already has he hit his fifth home run today, which leads
the
major league.
The Pirates are 3-3. The Pirates. You never know.
The Pirates aren't going anywhere.
No, they're not going to win the division.
Get back to the cellar. That's where
they're not.
They'll be back in the cellar after they get done with this series with the Giants.
I don't think they're as bad as they have been in the past. This is a team that could not. I'm not saying come anywhere near close to the playoffs.
They're a triple A team posing as a major league.
No, this is the Pirates are a team that could have their best season in 5 years. Is that saying something? No. But once again, you got to build towards something.
If they can get to 500, I will try to go to
I don't think they get to 500. I'm not saying that.
Every day out there right now, they're running Ryan Domet, Jeff Clement, Akinori Iwamura, Andy LaRoche, Ronnie Cedeno, Lastings Milic, Andrew McCutchen, and Garrett Jones.
It's a very good defensive team, though.
It's a triple A team.
I mean, this is garbage.
It's a garbage. I mean, you can
McCutchen
filter and take
is about
one,
as fun
one player
to watch
from every
all
triple
baseball,
A.
Yeah, you never know what he's going to do. He might
but the thing is,
take
I think
a nap
he's,
in the middle of left field.
Yeah, you never know what that kid's going to do. I mean, he can steal 6 bases in game and then go 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts the next day. That's the Pirates' talent, honestly. You want to talk about a team that just makes fire sales every single year, it seems like. Oh, this guy's got like 30 home runs, getting rid of him.
If you're a Pirates fan, how do you deal with that every year? Just like, oh, we got good.
Or you just
talent,
go to PNC Park and just enjoy it.
Enjoy
baseball.
Their ownership is kind
you
of
enjoy when the Cardinals come to town. That way you can watch a real team.
Their ownership has kind of hinted recently that's I do get the feeling that they are building this year and they're starting to build. They've
been trying to sell that for 6 years.
Well, yeah, but
ever since they let Bonds go in '92,
they could have gotten some big trades last year if they wanted to. They could have sold everything if they wanted to, but they didn't do that.
LaRoche. They kept LaRoche at third. They kept McCutchen in the outfield.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the thing.
You're not going to get a whole lot for either one of them.
I would be surprised if the Pirates sell most of their do it again this year. I really would.
That's just because they're not going to get anything back with anybody on this roster.
Yeah, I know. That NL Central in reality, I don't think it's going to be a very good division this year. I don't think the Cubs are ever going to be much better than a couple games over .500 this season. They're already one game under
.500. They'll be over .500, but I mean, I don't think there'll be anything spectacular.
Their pitching staff is. What is it? I mean, Z. You roll up Big Z, and depending on what day
of the week it
is, you don't know what you got with the guy. I mean, depending if he had a salad maybe before lunch, which you know.
Oh, he trimmed down a lot. Well, he's in better shape, but that doesn't mean his head's in.
Drinking all relative. Energy drinks. Yeah.
But I mean,
the Astros bringing up the 0-7 record in the division.
And you look at the NL West. I know it kills Dan when I talk about this, Dan Valley, but I don't see the Dodgers doing anything. That rotation is awful. I think Joe Torre, he's going to kindly get a lot of fans back on the, oh, now we want the fire Torre chants out. It's not going to be his fault, ultimately, I don't think, but they don't have a rotation, and he has a way of just building crappy rotations and then building a bunch of good bullpen guys and then tearing their arms to shreds and then relying all on offense.
I mean, they do have a good bullpen.
You look at it, and honestly, okay, years past when the Yankees had their dynasty, they did it with homegrown talent, and they did it with guys that kind of they were lesser known guys. Scott Brosius, Chuck Knobloch, some of those guys that they're not the Alex Rodriguez's.
No.
But either way,
you got to have a farm system.
Yeah, you got to have a farm system, and Joe Torre didn't do that his last few years, and he built nothing. But I mean, it was guys like Kevin Brown, yeah. Esteban Loaiza coming in.
The Mets are the same story this year in the NL. The Mets and the Dodgers are two teams. Tell me that they have a good farm.
Oh my
show
gosh.
Me their farm system. It's embarrassing.
Jerry Manuel already said that.
And it's amazing because the Dodgers had a good farm system.
Yeah. Once upon a time. But I think the Giants. This is their year. I think
Diamondbacks
this is really
could
their
surprise.
Year.
They've gotten off to a decent start.
And Diamondbacks are always there.
Yeah,
but
Chris Young is off to a great start for them. But
I worry about their pitching as well, especially with Brandon Webb, his health, and honestly, the Giants. I mean, Tim Lincecum, and then you look Matt Cain. You got Jonathan Sanchez. You've got a good rotation there. They've got an offense that's extremely underrated. You can't name a lot of players that just come to your
and then
mind.
They've got great catching prospect Buster Posey, who's going to be
Buster
making his
Posey
appearance
that will probably come up
little,
as well
in a couple months.
I think they have a decent farm system.
It's a very good lineup. Very underrated.
The thing that I find so funny is you talk about a guy that doesn't get any attention anymore in San Francisco is Barry Zito, and a guy he's been pretty good.
That's because he's been under .500 the 4 years he's been there.
Well, no, it's so funny because in Oakland he came up like all these pitchers do in Oakland, became a star. They do their fire sale song and dance. They get rid of him.
Same thing with Tim Hudson, Mark Mulder.
He goes to San Francisco. Doesn't amount.
The big guy that plays with the Phillies. I forget his name.
Who?
That the bigger guy that plays with the Phillies now.
Yeah.
He was their fifth starter. I forgot what his
Bob's
name is.
Bob's Big Boy? I have no idea who that is. Got me completely lost. But you look at Zito, and he has such a bad he gets such a bad start for a couple of years in San Francisco.
Oh.
But then all of a sudden, and he gets underrated. People start saying, man, this guy sucks. He doesn't suck. He's actually, if you got Barry Zito as your third starter, things are looking all right. So when you're
and he's turning it around. The second half of the season and first half of this start, I think his ERA was somewhere in the low threes, and he's got a winning record.
That's
for
all
the first
you want
time
from
ever.
Him. I mean, you don't need him to be a stud anymore.
Honestly, they found out his problem. They found out that, honestly, his curveball, which was his best pitch, probably the best curveball that's been in the majors in years, was the thing that was killing him the most because his curveball was so good that it was breaking so sharp that it would just go completely out of the strike zone. It'd start up at your eyes and wind up around
your toes.
Typical
story of somebody not knowing their own strength. I mean, that's been my situation as long as I've been alive on this earth. I mean,
let me get my big shovel out of this closet over here.
I walk into a room. I open a door. I got to be careful not to break the doorknob off. Definitely. What am I saying?
I can tell. Your Ripley muscles.
I'm pulling your leg. I don't know if you can
tell. You're joshing me over here.
It's going to be interesting. Another 155, 156 games left to go. It's going to be a long
season.
So we'll see what happens, and we'll continue to track that. I'm pulling for the Twins. That's my team I'm going to pull for this year.
That's your go-to team.
I can feel it happening in Minnesota at Target Field. We're going to take a break. When we get back, the playoffs for the NBA are going to get underway in just about a week or so. So we'll be talking about that. The Bobcats are in. They've clinched. Will they have any success?
Big time. What did I say?
Yeah.
What did I say?
And the Lakers are falling. We'll talk about them as well when
Zeppi,
we come back.
Blake, you all realize I called it. Bobcats in the playoffs.
We'll watch out for that. Sports
Loading
out the Wazoo.
Time.
Coming back right here, 90.5 WASU FM, WASU Rocks.com.